This is this. This ain't something else. This is this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the This Is This podcast. I am your host and your captain, and we're heading into some choppy waters. But don't worry, because I am your Hollywood homie, and I'm still here to give you all the straight, hard truth, the facts, because whether you like them, whether you need them, this is where you come to get them. Episode number 32. Let's get into it. But before we do, I'm going to do a quick plug. Go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you do your podcast listening, and download the show, subscribe to the show. Most importantly, share the show. Sharing is caring. Just tell someone about the show. You're not that busy. It takes 2 seconds. Go over there to Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. Leave a review, an honest review. I don't care. Roast me, toast me, boast me. And then for Instagram, it's This Is This Podcast. YouTube, This Is This Podcast, where I am putting up full videos now. TikTok, as long as it's still around, go over there as well. This Is This Podcast. And where the hell else am I? Twitter / X, TITPcast, over there.
You're not on Truth Social? I thought you were on Truth Social.
No? Not on Truth Social yet. And that voice you're hearing, everyone, please give a round of applause wherever you are to the GOAT, your favorite guest, and my favorite guest, Mr. Wow. Tony Sly.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Get closer to the mic, Tony Sly.
This is always a cathartic experience hanging out with you, not just because you're a close friend, but because it's fun.
You get to get some of your thoughts out, some of your opinions. You know, I think what happens when you get in front of a microphone, you think what you say is very important. And that's exactly what we're going to do here today. We're going to get into it. We're here out in Los Angeles, and I'm sure, as you know, we're going through a bit of a rough time out here. And I don't think watching the news, watching social media clips is really doing it justice. The mass of this tragedy, the disaster zone, is the scope of it is astronomical, and I think it's going to take 10 years before we really get back to normal out there, or anywhere here in Los Angeles, Altadena, Palisades, wherever the fire is really ravaged. I think it's a tough time. Tony Sly, yes. Your first reaction to the fires, I know you being an East Coast kid, we get a little jumpy, a little nervous when we hear fires in the mountains. Out here, LA's people are pretty loosey-goosey with it.
Right.
When did you first see that this was going to be an actual major problem? Like, when did you first see the smoke? When did you first see the first article? What was your reaction to all this?
You know, and I don't know if this was the majority of people out here or where or wherever, but, you know, when the night it all began in the Palisades, I was not deeply tuned into the news. I was unaware at how large it was. I knew we were getting winds. They warned us of it. They told us this was coming.
They did warn about the winds and then obviously the fire threat elevates, but no one saw this coming. So
Well, all I was gonna say was, although the massive destruction happened the night before, it wasn't until I'm outside my apartment in Hollywood just chilling and I look up and there's a fucking huge fire in my fucking neighborhood on a hill that's a bigger fire than I've ever seen in my entire life in the middle of the city.
So that's the Sunset Fire, at Runyon Canyon. Runyon is where all the rich, pretty people and people like us go hiking. It's a lovely area, and you're pretty close to that. That's Hollywood proper, is what I would say.
It's Hollywood proper. You know, I'm close enough that the warning zone pretty much almost hit my street, far enough away that I would probably never have an issue. But it was a little close for comfort, and I think that's the moment I said, oh, shit, this is a thing. Oh,
yeah, man. I mean, I don't think anyone dreams of the fire coming. I guess like no one in the Palisades thinks that their house is ever going to be caught on fire, but especially in LA proper, I would find it very believable. If the fires ravaged Beverly Hills or ravaged Hollywood, that would be a fucking major thing that I don't think would ever happen.
Well, we learned though that it could, right? Don't forget, in the past couple of days, the whole situation has been, if it skips the 405, there's no telling with the right kind of wind where it goes and where it ends.
So if it comes west or east of the 405, where we east, are.
That's correct, yes.
Because west of the 405 is like Brentwood, Palisades, that stuff.
Correct.
Excuse me, east of the 405. Yeah, I guess it could just... Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really hard to even wrap my head around because you hear something like 23,000 acres. Now, it's an insane amount of land to just be burning. I know that the threat to homes and to civilian population is probably decreased. But just that land mass, I mean, I grew up in a small town. I looked how many acres it was. Mm. It was like 1.5 square miles is 1 acre. So my town is 1 acre. So that's 20,000 of my town. It's insane, dude. Yep. About like just the size and the sheer destruction that this has happened or that this caused. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around it. So you did end up evacuating your place?
Oh, we got out. I saw a fire and I said, you know what? It's probably not going to touch us. But what we're going to do is we're going to get the 5 P's I've learned from LA people. Plastic, paintings. There's like 3 other P's.
Yeah, what are the 5 P's?
Jay just told me. I forget. But anyway,
these are the 5 P's that you
passport,
should be.
Passport, plastic.
That you should be evacuating.
Get your paintings, right? Get out all the stuff you need. That's there. It is. Oh shit.
No, that's not it.
Regardless, there's the 5 P's in LA. Yeah, we were like, let's get the fuck out. And you know, our neighbors. It's funny. Our neighbors were looking at us like fucking newbies. You know, like it's obvious we're not from LA. It's obvious. But I'm in the tier of people that I wait and I wait a little more. And then I fucking move.
Yeah, you know? But which is also a little dangerous because you hear about the Palisades people saying, like, we heard about evacuating, we did not leave, correct. And then all of a sudden the fire was at our doorstep. Those sort of epic winds that were really reaching, you know, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, I think they've subsided for correct. Now. I don't think we're in that zone anymore, but we're still under a strict fire warning. Be prepared to leave at any moment. You keep hearing that. I got the 5 P's up. People, prescriptions, papers, personal needs and priceless items, and you gather all those 5 P's. We did like a little small bag, and I was like, "Where are we gonna go? Like, where do you actually go?" You
San went Diego. Down. I didn't go there, but like that's the direction. You just fucking get the fuck out. You go wherever. It's probably not gonna catch on fire.
Has San Diego ever had any fire problems, or is that too far south? I don't really know anything about that.
They, you know, there's been some watches around there and some warnings. I'm sure there's been a couple of fires that ravaged that
area. Is it too moist down there?
Yeah, you're down there. It's a little more humid out there, right? I mean, it's
I've only been to San Diego once, I think. Okay. I'm not a big San Diego guy, but I heard it's like the nicest place in the country, La Jolla, all that stuff. I would love to get down there more. We did look at some hotels just that night, and the prices were insane.
They gouged up, yeah.
Dude, the first fucking night they started gouging.
Yeah, but you're not looking at. So we went to a little thing on the side of Route 5. I know you. You're looking. You're like, all right. Let me look at the standard in Palm Springs.
yeah. And then, we go to the IHA, the Kempton, out there in Palm Springs. Yeah, it was only $980 a night.
Oh my god. Well, apparently half of LA is out there right now. A couple of my buddies texted me. They're like, oh my god,
they're in Palm Springs.
Yeah. I'm like, how fitting. Like everybody from Central LA ran away to Palm Springs to escape the fires, you know? Like,
yeah, that's what happens. I mean, Palm Springs is the escape from the city that everyone goes to, even for vacations. But when things get a little hairy, people are like, let's go down to Palm Springs. Yeah. It's nice and dry out there.
Which doesn't really help the situation. You're going from one dry climate to the next.
Yeah, but does Palm Springs ever have any issues with the fires?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't know. We're East Coast kids. We only know what we know out here in LA. I have heard you say before that you're LA, you're California sort of for life. You're not really looking to move anywhere.
Have these fires... No,
they swayed your opinion.
No, I'm hyped. I'm hyped.
You want to stay out here?
Yeah. I'm hyped. You know,
you want to stay in this failed state of California?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm intrinsically an artist. If I live in a boring little Boston town, no offense to Boston, you guys are great, but like, if I live in this little boring ass town where everything's all peaceful and Richard Scarry, like, you know, Richard Scarry, shout out to Richard Scarry animation. that doesn't feed me. It doesn't feed my soul. It doesn't feed, you know,
like you're a New Yorker or you're an LA kind of kid.
I'm an ex New Yorker, to be honest with you. I'm done with that.
Like, I know. Could you ever imagine yourself living back in New York City at this age?
But where were you? You were in Williamsburg? Is that where you were?
Yeah. Well, first we started out there in Sunset Park, which is like close to Park Slope, which is like middle South Brooklyn. Then we went to Williamsburg, and then I ended up in Bushwick. Never lived in Manhattan proper.
Okay.
I know you were a... were you a Washington Heights kid?
Harlem, Washington Heights for most of my 12 years there. Bronx was the last stop, fittingly.
Wow, you're a real North fucking Manhattan kind of kid. You never lived downtown, never...
60th and Columbus for 4 years.
60th and Columbus?
Right outside Central Park West. Yep.
Oh, okay. That's beautiful over there.
It was gorgeous. I'm still in debt from living there. I mean, I'm still paying that off. It's insane. And they told us when we moved in, they were like, you know, I'm 18 from the suburbs of Philly. They're like, get ready. This is the last, like, this is going to be the craziest place you ever live in. They said it jokingly because like Madonna lived across the street and this and that and this and that.
Sure.
And I remember laughing and being like, yeah, right. And now I'm like, oh, they were right. They were right. That is the ritziest place I probably will ever live in. And I paid for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you pay for more than just your apartment when you live in New York City or LA. You're here for the experience. You're here for the opportunities. You're here for the lifestyle. And, you know, I think living in Manhattan is a young person's game. That is not something I would do unless you're a millionaire. If you're a millionaire, then you can live luxuriously anywhere and it's nice and clean and you get your parking spot, you say hello to the doorman. I could live in that Manhattan. I am not trying to live in like Lower East Side, four people to a fucking apartment.
The walk up, 5'5" walk up? Dude,
I had a 6-floor walk up in Brooklyn.
Were you 6th floor?
6th floor walk up.
Oh my God.
Like moving in and moving out of that place. And we were riding bikes that time. You had to take your bike all the way up there.
That's insane.
It's insane. Too much for me, dude. When it comes to New York and LA, New York tragedies, I'm trying to think, is there anything that even touches close to this? I mean, I know Sandy, Hurricane Sandy was kind of a big deal. Were you living in New York then? You must have been.
Yes, I was. And that, I remember that being particularly scary. I also remember, you know, a lot of people were hunkering down before that word became popular during the C phase of our life.
Yeah.
I don't think you could say that, right? But
is that the C? Is that the COVID phase?
Yeah. And I remember what was crazy was I remember like I was at my ex's place in the Upper West Side and it was really getting windy and shit. And I was like, oh, damn, this is getting crazy. I went up to Washington Heights. It was like nothing. I was like, oh, we're good. Like, we're on the top of a hill up here.
Like, the weather was nothing?
The weather was barely touching us because, yo, the Heights is high up, dude. People don't know that. Manhattan is like a fucking huge hill at the top.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Dude, yo, that incline to get up to Washington Heights and Inwood, that's a whole thing. You get glutes doing that walk
every day. Yeah, of course. I mean, walking, yeah. It's crazy. All right, so that's why, I guess that's why everything flooded downtown Manhattan.
Correct.
That makes more sense.
Correct.
Yeah, I remember being there during Sandy and, you know, boarding up the windows and all that stuff. It was kind of, it's almost fun though when you're a kid because you're like, you realize, or not a kid, I was
younger.
Like, I was younger. I was in my early 20s, but you don't really take anything too seriously. But they never had a fire ravage a part of their city. No. It's not part of their lifestyle.
Right, and what they can't get past, and I understand, but there's a real reason they can't. The people, New Yorkers I've talked to, they're like, but you guys make everything out of wood. It's like, yeah, because of earthquakes. Everything's made out of wood because of earthquakes. You don't want to build brick stuff in a earthquake zone. You don't want to do that
because if it comes down, then it'll hurt you.
Yeah, and I think it's literally how the structure. I think it's how the structure is. I mean, that shit. When that shit crumbles, it crumbles, right? Wood tends to just kind of go down in one fell swoop.
Sure. So you don't want to get crumbled. You don't want to get crushed under concrete.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
But you know, real quick, going back to the original topic, what I've heard as a comparison, and I think it's people being a little dramatic, honestly, and I don't know which one's worse, but I keep hearing, this is our 9/11. This is LA's 9/11.
Oh my God, I've heard that.
You've heard that. And it's like it's I don't insane. Want to take away from 9/11, first off. What an insane tragedy that pierced at the core of the national psyche, right?
For sure.
But on the other hand, the loss of human life is insane with 9/11. But this is different, right? This is different. We're talking about a part of the city being destroyed wholly, you know? And I don't think you can compare them is what I'm saying.
No, you're saying more 9/11 was a coordinated, centralized attack here at this place. The devastation rippled through the country
in
our psyche specifically. Of course. I mean, that's why we're terrified. That's why it worked. That's why terrorism works.
We're the most anxious fucking generation to exist.
Of course. I mean, we've lived through a lot of crazy shit.
Yes.
Of course. I think it's a pretty tone deaf of certain celebrities comparing 9/11 to this. I mean, you know, tragedy, it's a strange thing because you have sympathy for everyone that's in their own tragic situation. Like, am I saying that 9/11 was more tragic for the wife of a fallen hero more than the Palisades woman that lost her? It's the same really to them.
Yep.
But on a national scale, I think 9/11 is worse. I really do see LA being hated mostly throughout the country. People do not like LA, me being one of them before I really moved here. Now, I do play it up. I play like I hate LA, whatever. There's a lot of things I don't love about LA. But what this tragedy did to me was really, I don't know, it made me love LA more for some reason. Mm. Like, say what you want about LA. There's a lot of fake, glitterized bullshit that goes on here in the business specifically. People are only here to use you for what you could do for them. There's not a lot of compassion. But when something like this unfolds, you see how people respond. And it was a beautiful thing. How quickly people came to help other people.
Yeah.
Just keeping an eye out for their neighbor's house, video their neighbor's house for them, running into houses, making sure their neighbors are okay. Like, there's a lot of love and a lot of compassion. And LA is super strong and it's super diverse. And I have a lot of love for LA. Post this tragedy is what I have to say, because I'm more times than none, I'm shitting on LA, but something happened to me where I really love LA now. I have to be honest with you.
Well, also, I mean, it's worth saying that what most people hate is the mask of LA, the mask of California. And that mask involves people from all over the world coming here and not really giving a fuck about the city, giving a fuck about the resources, getting those resources, realizing it is the Wild West. When you get the resources, you hold them, you don't let them go.
Sure.
There's a lot of power control plays out here politically, but at the core of it, there's a lot of people out here who are from here that don't work in the industry and are not a part of that mask.
Of course.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I enjoy about this city is the culture of it, not the business or the industry.
You're not here for the Hollywood industry culture. You like,
I like LA. Fucking graffiti.
Sure.
I like the culture. I like my fucking family made burritos on the fucking corner. Sure. Like that's what I'm here for. You know, like.
Yeah, there is something great about the allure of LA that drives people here. You could be whoever you want here. And I say that all the time. I guess that's true for New York as well. But us being East Coasters, to come all the way out here and like not really have any family around or anyone that knows you, you can literally be whoever you want.
Yes.
And not have to worry about running into someone that you may know.
Correct.
Which is a beautiful thing. LA is massive.
What's going on here?
Oh,
that's my dog, but
choking. You good?
He's looking for attention.
Oh, okay. Our dog here is a typical LA dog, man. Just
yeah, everyone
for
wants. We're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about something over here, Wesley. Thank you so much.
Ham it up. Well, you know the thing with New York, though, and I see we got a couple things to get through. But the thing is that I do, and I always say this: New York, you can be whoever you want, but you got to get down with a couple codes there, dude. And those codes extend from the block on the street to the office on Wall Street. There is a uniformity to the code of being and the way and the style and the walk and the pace and the movement and the communication. And you can be whoever you want within those guidelines.
So
that's what I always say.
Sure. So LA, what? It's a little looser?
It's entirely the other direction. Entirely. It's nobody knows who's in charge out here. Nobody knows.
That's true.
There's no hierarchy. You don't know who it is or what it's supposed to be. That's part of the allure. That's part of what I like. It's also what makes it difficult as a natively East Coast person to be 100% calm and feel at peace with your living situation.
You mean here?
Yes.
Because there is no conformity. You don't know where you kind of fall into?
Yeah. I'll even like, let's just be very direct about certain references. If I blow through a red light in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, you better believe if I don't even see a cop, I'm going to get pulled over. Like sure. You won't even see them. You're going to get pulled over. Here, I have seen people go through red lights. The cop looks at them and looks the other way because they don't want to deal with it.
For sure. And they got a lot going on.
That's
out
a
here.
Great example of like, hey, LA is kind of like, look the other way, which benefits me greatly when I do productions and when I do the shit that I don't feel like people fucking get in my business about.
Of course.
It benefits me greatly. But I think like the arsonist shit that's been popping off recently, I can't believe. I mean, finally, LA people are coming together and saying, hey, punch an arsonist in the face. Right. That's the new tagline.
I did see someone say that. I also saw David Spade. Great comedian. He said he'll be paying people $5,000 for catching every arsonist that's out there. The arsonist situation now with the LA fires, you know, along with the tragedy comes a lot of conspiratorial theories that are out there now. Now, where these fires started, I don't think there's been a direct answer yet. I know there's a few theories or some videos. I think the Altadena fire was maybe started by the electric company. One of their transmitters blew up, blah, blah, blah. They're in for a serious lawsuit heading their way, that's for sure. Now, this other Palisades fire, do you think this was a deliberate arsonist that did this? I mean, it's not crazy to think that's what happened.
The running theory, though, is this fireworks thing. And is that a patsy? I don't know.
I've never heard this fireworks
thing. Oh, yeah. And it's mainstream news, so you have to take it with a grain of salt, because they run. What mainstream does now is they just run with anything. What's going on?
Wesley's moving.
Wes, you are getting crazy, bro.
Yeah, I thought that was an earthquake happening right there.
You're ready to go. Listen, there's a big theory right now that there was fireworks that happened and caused a little fire on New Year's Eve in the same place. They have video footage of it. It caused a fire in the same place where it started again a week later, dude. So there's a direct correlation with fireworks going on. And everybody's like, well, wait, that happened a week ago.
Yeah.
The firefighters said,
those can burn?
Dude. Once a burn happens, you got to be on that every single day. That shit can fan up at any moment with the right winds, dude.
So
when a burn happens, it's going for several days afterwards, even if you think you put it out. That's how it works.
That's crazy to me. Have you ever really even tried to start a fire? It's really hard to do.
Very difficult.
I don't understand how these fires really, I mean, the winds for sure, but like, okay, so let's say that is the New Year's Eve fireworks situation. It burns for a couple of days quietly. Mm. No one's around it. No one's helping put it out, or they did put it out and they thought it was out.
Yes, that's the ongoing theory.
So
yes.
Who did that? Do they have that person?
So, you know, there's a whole thing about that.
A bunch of kids?
Obviously, you want to blame it on kids, but like, the one question is like, well, were it residents? Because no resident wants to take claim of setting their whole town on fire.
I mean, dude, someone's right? going to be in some serious trouble.
I think this is going to be the case that goes on forever. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to pinpoint it. And if they do, then fucking GG's to them. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, but how do we know as people that's not a patsy?
That's the problem.
Now, here, and another theory is that this is a government psyop that people, that they're literally sort of like Manchurian candidate vibes, where these homeless people are government CIA psyops or, you know, mind control bullshit, that they're lighting the fires specifically to cause chaos, to disrupt society. How are you feeling about that, Tony Sly?
Because the Great Reset?
Is this the Great Reset? I mean, I know we had the Hawaii fires. Now we have the Palisades fires. You see people saying like, this is going to benefit the 2027 Olympics or the 2028 Olympics. This was a direct land grab. It's very upsetting and very depressing to think that that's even a possibility. But with how fucked up and how, I don't know, just opportunistic these certain powerful people are, it doesn't sound that crazy to me anymore. I am slipping into conspiracy territory, and I'm starting to believe some of these because they're pieces of shit. Like, yeah. It's not that crazy to conceive. It's not inconceivable that that can happen. How it happens, I don't know. Is there a dark room? Are there people sitting around going, hey, we should do this? I don't know if it's so direct, but...
You know, so I my answer is twofold to you. So first off, you know, I think a lot of conspiracies to me are born from two things, either ancient religion or ancient society. And I'll explain why. Mm-hmm. The ancient society part, there is history in ancient Rome, and somebody much smarter than me can fact check me and tell me who this happened under. There's history, historical evidence that some leader, I can't remember who it was, burned a
Nero.
Nero. My man, shit. So, I mean, that happened, right? That happened.
Of course. Yo, mama ain't raised no fool, bro. I know my history.
We know about the Bronx. We know about people setting fires to buildings in the Bronx to get tenants out, to burn down. I mean, that's a real thing. So, unfortunately, we have historical precedents of entities burning out people in order to take control of it and do something else, right? It's a real thing which has happened in history.
It is. But I think, like, when it becomes modern times, you tend to separate history. The horrific parts of history seem so long ago, and you think that people have learned and have evolved from that sort of barbarian acts. But in 100, 200, 300 years, when they're looking back on this time, it's the same as us looking back at 1700, where they're like,
we'll be the most barbarian of them all when they look back at us, I think, personally. I think that we
like once we become like a type one civilization or something, and we're all sort of singular, like you look back and they go, can you believe they were doing that to each other?
I think so, because I think that we see barbarian as like things like, oh my God, they used to cut their
like
knife
Genghis
off
Khan and, or something, right, like those kind of crazy barbarian. But like to them, that was just normal behavior.
Correct.
So like,
remember, we still live in a time which in a couple hundred years will be at the same period. We'll be just a hop, skip, and a jump from the Holocaust. We'll be a hop, skip, and a jump from world wars. We'll be a hop, skip, and a jump from everything that happened in the 20th, 19th century, you know, colonialism, all that crap. So we're going to be all roped inside.
We are.
When they look back at us. So I don't think that we're going to be viewed favorably as a peaceful, loving society.
No, we will not. But I guess to us is what I'm saying. Like compared to them, compared to the 1500s, 1600s, crusades, whatever, we are peaceful.
Yes. And I think technology has allowed that to happen. I think technology has allowed people who are in power. And what that just simply means is that they have large concentrations of money because the whole world is run off of money. It allows them to maneuver in ways which don't require force. I think typically money throughout society has required force, usually by way of armies and police and you know, whatever. The Catholic Church with their inquisitions, right? There's force in order to make change. I think you can use technology to make change now peacefully.
So it's not so evident in our faces, where it's like it's a different sort of force.
Correct. And I think we see it. Me and you were talking before about social media. I think that went from something where I was like, oh my God, we could talk to anybody around the world. It's amazing, to, oh my God, what is real anymore? What is real? We don't know. We have no idea, which is why these conspiracy theories are kind of in vogue, particularly from people who, I mean, I'm an OG conspiracy theory guy. We were talking about 07, 08. What's Bush secretly doing, right?
Sure. Like, you know, or like the Kennedy assassination, stuff like
that's
that.
That's the OG OG. Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's the OG OG. You know, now, I mean, there's popular theory coming back about the tunnels. The hollow earth theory, which was like disproved in like the 1800s.
Oh, the hollow earth theory.
Yeah, like, that's all back now. So it's crazy. I mean, it's like,
yeah, is that like down in Antarctica or something? Like
the whole earth is hollow and composed of tunnels that people do their biddings in. And, you know, it's funny because it directly contradicts the flat earth theory, which is also,
and they're the same people.
It's sometimes like the same people.
They do cross over. So. We are living in a crazy, bizarre time. I would really love to. I think the problem with LA, it's so massive. It's like, how do you control anything? And like, look, I don't want to shit on, well, I do. Fuck Karen Bass, fuck Gavin Newsom, fuck all the powers to be. And it's like, it has nothing to do with a D or an R in front of their name. I just really feel like it's incompetence. And we need someone in there that can really get a hold of all our problems here. But like, I just feel like it's so massive and there's so many moving parts to LA specifically. It's like, how does everyone get what they want? How does everyone really, I don't know, feel safe and feel calm without ruining someone else's life? Because like everyone that like argues, it's like, all right, well, you're doing this, so this is directly affecting my life negatively. Mm. So like, I don't know, like letting out, not locking anyone up, let's say. Some people are in favor for that. Some people are not. Like, so if you start locking up criminals again, what's going to happen? Is that going to make our lives better? I mean, I would say yes, but it's hard for me to really tell. I really don't know.
Yeah. I think that, it's fact that LA is the most decentralized governance in at least the country, right? And it's hard to understand that while we have a mayor, West Hollywood has a mayor, right? Beverly Hills has its own police. Santa Monica has its own mayor, you know?
And that's still all LA County.
And that's LA County, but like Santa Monica's an LA city. I'm LA city in Hollywood.
Santa Monica is its own city.
It's its own city.
Its Beverly own city. Hills is its own city.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we saw this fallout happen in COVID most specifically. And you saw it. This is when everybody realized that the desert is still LA County, the fucking desert. And they were like, we're not doing these fucking mask shit and this and that and this and that.
For sure.
And there was nothing really you could do about it because they had the autonomy. And you know,
that's why it is really the Wild West. That's why I feel like people just like run around, light fires, rob people, do whatever they want. It's very hard to wrap your hands around it. So I don't know who to blame. I know everyone wants to blame Karen Bass for being away in Ghana while this was happening. Like,
well, I can jump in here real quick because
how do you feel?
This is, and I hear you on this.
But real quick, I just want to say, like, Karen Bass, like, unfortunately for her, she is the face of, it stops at her. The buck stops with her. So she's going to have to deal with a lot of shit. She gets a lot of shit that's probably unwarranted. Yep. Like, she didn't know these fires were going to happen in theory. So if she's in Ghana, she's in Ghana. That's not really her fault. And a lot of people want to come and be like, she was in Ghana, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, that was planned before. She did come back. That being said, I do think she's incompetent. I do think she's cut a lot of fire regulation, safety bullshit things for DEI, whatever. And those things are beneficial for certain people and for certain aspects of society. But as a whole, I think LA County, the governor, I think they really dropped the ball and let a lot of people suffer and a lot of houses get destroyed.
And it's a very popular opinion. And I think what I learned when my dad died is that everybody wants to blame. You need to blame somebody when something bad happens.
So when you have a loss, like you start looking for someone to blame because you can't accept it.
It's hard, very hard to accept loss, tragic loss. It's very hard. And politicians sign up for that, right? You sign up to be the face of that. It's crazy. That's why psychopaths end up in office now, because who wants that, right?
It's insane.
You have to be able to not let that affect you, honestly, as a politician.
And they do a good job because they're like vapid, like they don't even really respond to sometimes, but they kind of just stare at you and like give a roundabout answer. To get a politician to directly answer your question, it's got to be the hardest thing in the world. It's never a yes or no. It's like, well, first let me address this. And it's like, okay, but now we've lost the answer.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of that.
The
going
only
on.
People that come close that still beat around the bush, even Bernie beats around the bush. I love him. I still love think that in America, we would have been in a whole different situation overall if he won the first time, you know, when he was 2016. When they dropped him. Yeah. During the primaries. I think we would have been in a way better situation.
I still think Trump would have won.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's got a force behind him that can't be reckoned
now. Yes. but regardless, I think that, you know, I always talk about this book. right? And I don't expect anybody to read because nobody reads. I don't even read. But the book's called Ecology of Fear. I used to read on the plane going back and forth.
What's it called one more time?
The Ecology of Fear.
Ecology of Fear. E-C-O-L-O-G-Y?
Yeah.
Ecology of Fear.
Great book written in the late 90s by like a journalist and a researcher who basically laid out that we are living on land, which is constantly prone to disaster, that anything that happens here, it's nature, and there's not a lot we can do except deal with it and move on. The Palisades, that already, as you probably know, was a movie set in like the 30s or the 40s. That was one of its original uses.
So there were no houses there.
There were no houses. It was made up as a movie set to mimic small, cute European towns on the countryside, the seaside. That shit burned down too. You know, we have precedents of things burning down all the time here. Mudslides, earthquakes. Humans are not really supposed to be on this land, at least not in the way that we've developed
this specific land.
I mean,
like LA,
I don't think so. I think California in general, Southern California is not a place where humans are supposed to live like this.
Isn't it the ultimate irony though, because it's so beautiful here and like the weather's perfect. Like it's literally Southern California. It could be the greatest place to live weather wise, minus the natural disasters in the entire world. Really?
Right.
It's beautiful here, dude.
It is.
I mean, it's January, whatever. And like people back at home are freezing 30, 20 degrees. It's 75 degrees here.
But we're afforded that. This book suggests we're afforded that
because it's like a give and take.
And we're afforded that because so you have this whole idea of climate change taking over the whole world and changing what's going on.
Just get closer to the mic.
But when I get closer, it feels like I'm kissing it or something.
That sounds better.
All right. So you know there is obviously,
and let's be clear, Tony Sly, that's your mic now because I don't have any other guests.
Oh, okay, great.
So you're the only one that uses
the
mic.
I can kiss it. All right. Yeah. Climate change. You know, we know it exacerbates problems. This book suggests that Southern California, we've been dealing with climate change for hundreds of years. We've got
that hoax.
That hoax. We've what the book suggests is we've actually gotten relatively lucky, and that's why we built here in the first place in this European style because we came here. Things were generally okay. There would be a disaster here and there, like a deluge. There's a great deluge in the 1940s.
What's a deluge?
When it rains for days, weeks, months, it doesn't stop
here raining. In California.
It happened in Southern California. It wiped out the last indigenous culture that was living on its own by the beach somewhere in Orange County. Like
so,
it was a good thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to comment on that one. But
that sounds like a good thing. That sounds like one of those good problems. Anyway.
Yeah. We've dealt with things, right?
So we've gotten lucky, and I almost agree with you.
We've gotten lucky, yeah, and we haven't had a big, big one.
That's what I feel. We haven't had a big one.
Historically, this part of even the world, this part of the world is unusual, dude. That's what this book suggests. Southern California is an anomaly in terms of climate and temperature and precipitation and weather. It's an anomaly.
It's very bizarre. And I think we have gotten lucky. I mean, the earthquakes really, I mean, I felt a few earthquakes out here and people keep saying for years, the big one's coming.
Right.
Wait for the big one, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I guess we do get lucky. I think, I don't know, dude, when I look at the Palisades fire, I think it's because just touching on what you said, they built that place for movie studios back in when? The 20s, the 30s, whatever.
That's where we need the fact checker, but it's like the first half of the 1900s.
So no one was really living there. That got wiped out. So yes. Then people decided to build where they know a tragedy like this could happen.
Yes.
But I think what people do, they ignore that because it's a beautiful location. They want to seem elitist. Living in the Pacific Palisades is like almost like a rite of passage out here for people that have a lot of money, right?
Yes,
you
yes,
want to move
yes.
out to the Pacific Palisades.
Yes, it's a signal, yes.
It's beautiful. And I would have done the same thing. If I had $100 million, my house would have been
burnt down. It's gorgeous
out there. But people ignore the fact that this could happen because we live in a society of high taxes here in Los Angeles. We live with this facade that we will be protected. So you go, yeah, there could be a fire, but do I expect my house to burn down without any response? No. People did not expect that. And I think they're absolutely right. I don't think their anger is misguided. I think they should be angry at the powers to be, but you're right. It's like they should. Is it sort of like they should have known?
No, here we go again. What in the problem is, though, I think, is that I was in Oklahoma for a shoot. I think you dropped me off the airport, actually.
Yeah, I'm not blaming anyone that lives out there, by the way. I'm saying like
this is an objective conversation.
Sure.
I remember I was shooting something out there. The artist I was with, We were driving through and like the biggest tornado alley in the country. And I was like, dude, why is it so developed if there's tornadoes? He's like, I don't know. People like whole developments get destroyed and they just build it again. And I was like, why? He's like, I don't know. People like living here. And I was like, that's LA. So the whole conversation is rebuild, which all these people are displaced. I obviously want them to be able to go back to their home, but we're talking about rebuilding an area that is probably going to get hit at some point again.
Do you think they're going to rebuild?
It's obviously going to happen. That's the whole, if it doesn't happen, Newsom's out, because that's his whole message from day one. It's let's be rebuild. If he does not follow through, he's out. But yes, I think they are going to rebuild. But now here comes the problem, is that it's going to be all about high density housing. So now we're going to
high density housing, meaning
apartments, right?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. That they want to put apartments there. No more single family homes. So this is where the conspiracy.
And you want to do that in a fire zone?
I think it's crazy. So bizarre. I guess the problem is that not every single house is burned down there. So some people are still living there, right? I mean, like, they're not going to leave.
Yes, and I think even like the famous actor Hader,
Bill Hader,
like his house is still standing, but it's surrounded by rubble.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
His house, I don't think you can live there under those conditions atmospherically. I don't think you can live there with that kind of smoke and smoldering still happening for months, maybe a year. You can't go back and live in that.
Like, you mean like the laws won't allow you? Like
both the law and also
mentally?
In terms of health.
Yeah.
Well, mentally, you're right.
But yeah, also I think mentally health. Walking outside of your house,
you're going to get lung cancer from those toxins in the air easily. Quickly, you're going to get some sort of issue. It's a health hazard. You can't do it. I remember, our office in 33rd and 7th burnt down suspiciously on New Year's Eve when nobody was there. And I remember it was like we couldn't go back for like months because the smell, even when they repainted, the smell was so putrid.
Yeah.
You couldn't
fire sit there. Damage is like something. Yeah. So
you couldn't sit there.
I honestly don't think they're going to rebuild there. I think it's going to be a demolished, lost town because of this. I mean, just because like for that factor of like, who wants to live there now? Who's going to say, oh, we want to live where these tragedies are prone to happen.
Yes.
And with the response, there's not a lot of faith in the fire department or in the powers that be that run that shit. So my guess is that like, if they do rebuild, it's going to be 10 years. I think 10 years I mean, building all those houses, all those contractors, all that chain of supply or whatever, supply chain, all those materials, like, I'm seeing like it's $150 billion.
I mean, it's insane.
Which is a
number. It might be half a trillion, honestly. Like if we're talking $150 billion, they usually underestimate.
I was going to say, that's just for the Palisades. So I don't know anything about Altadena. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. I think that, you know, the only thing that could really happen that would be a benefit for the society we live in down here is that this is a moment of innovation and they come up with a version of housing that does have an element of fireproofing or has some sort of element. They're going to have to figure out a way, the new way of building here in those kind of zones. That's the only, and sometimes innovation comes from these situations, right?
For sure. I mean, you look at something like, humans are very great at dealing with the problem when they're faced with the problem. Like, okay, we're going to figure this out now. There's not a lot of preventative measures, but like, okay, you know, that's why people don't care about global warming so much or climate change, because we can still turn on our lights. We could still run the water. So it's like, okay, I'm still living my life. But as soon as that would happen, then we would be like, oh, we need to fix this.
As
we need
soon
to change.
As the last drop of oil, gas comes out of the pump and everybody's fucked.
That's when people are going to mobilize.
Yeah. Everybody gets together. And of course you have to ride a fucking bike because your car doesn't start up.
Of course. I saw you riding the bike today. Way to do your part, dude. Bernie would be happy. Ed Begley Jr. would be happy. Everyone's happy with your climate control.
Shout out to Santa Monica for putting Santa Monica Boulevard, so West Hollywood, for putting that single bike lane in that people still park in.
Yeah.
And abuse.
I do. I park in
that. You park in that?
Yeah. I'm not crazy about the bikers. I got to be honest with you. I don't have much.
They're annoying.
They're annoying.
Annoying.
Or like they just really expect everyone to stop what they're doing, and because they're I'm the one riding the bike,
right?
And like, it's a lot of that bullshit. So
infrastructure creating enemies out of the people who live here. That's LA.
That's true.
Infrastructure, the highways, the traffic, it creates instant enemies out of somebody you don't even know.
That's LA, dude.
It's LA.
I hate everyone. I don't even know why. You're right. It's because of that stuff. Traffic. People are in my way. There's just too many people here.
Yes.
And I really think that is the problem. That's why I get very frustrated out here in LA. I just wanted to finish up on this Newsom thing. Because Newsom's been going around giving a lot of interviews, trying his best to, I don't know, sound like a human being. But I really feel like he's an awful. I'm not a big fan of Gavin Newsom because I really just think he's an elitist cokehead. And I'll say it myself.
Fair enough.
But he also had this clip, and when he's talking about the land. Now, we touched briefly before we started the podcast on the Hawaii tragic fires. You mentioned they have not started rebuilding there at all. So the conspiracy theories were really piling on with that one. Because they want to, it's a land grab. So then Newsom was caught saying this to the newscaster. Now, I don't know. Is this AI? Because it sounds pretty crazy to me. Tony Sly, the AI master. Hold on 1 second.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward. And we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
Well, actually, I've heard that. That is real. If it wasn't real, I think I saw the video of it, too.
I saw the video, too, but it wasn't synced. The audio and the video wasn't synced when I watched the video. So I'm saying it sounds just like him. Obviously, that's Newsom's voice.
But remember, though, I don't think anybody's listening to that clip. He actually mentioned, and I'm not.
What did he say?
I'm not pro-Newsom.
Hold on 1 second. Let's just listen to one time, because there's a word in there where I'm like, I don't know what he says.
I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use
concerns of speculators. I think what he's talking about, speculators coming in, the Black Rocks, the people who want to buy huge fucking properties and turn them into resorts. There's concerns about them. That's what I heard. So there's way worse clips to take of Newsom. His Grand Marshall Plan, there's way worse clips you can sample. I don't think that's the one, actually. I think that one actually speaks to protecting the land from large companies that are like, hey, let's fucking grab this whole hill and make a whole thing out of it.
So why did he mention the Hawaii mayor?
Because that's the person directly
or Hawaii governor.
Because that's the person directly dealing with the people coming in and trying to speculate on that land.
Oh, okay. Because it sounds to me like he's saying we're going to move forward with that, meaning like we're interested in talking to some of these spectators.
I think he worded it speculator. I think he worded it in a way which sounds nefarious.
It certainly does.
And I think it's not nefarious. And I think there's other things that he said or did.
Do you have anything
more? I think when he talks about the Grand Master Marshall Plan, like they're not words you should be using.
Or like LA
Marshall, they hear think of Marshall Law. Like you got to change your wording. You
know? Yeah, like, for sure. He's not very conscious of that. Or maybe he is and he thinks he's... I think these people are so out of touch. I really do. Like they never say the right thing. I don't understand why. That clip just kind of scared me because like the way he was like looking and laughing, it's just like, I think there is something a little nefarious going on. I have to be honest with you. I don't even like to think that way because... when you're younger, you think adults have everything covered. You think people are in charge of things and, the city is just running on autopilot, but people are in place to take care of certain tragedies or certain natural disasters. But what we've learned is like no one's really in charge of anything. Nobody really knows. It's a lot of pass the buck. And I think that's a dangerous place to be.
But that's how it's always been.
I don't
forever.
Know.
It's always been that way. We lived under a guise in the 20th century that everything was calm and orderly. After World War II, our generation, everything's in place. Everything's good. I don't think that's true. I think that's why we are so anxious.
You don't think it was ever true.
I don't think it was ever true. I think it was always a guise. That's what people in power have to do. You're good. You're safe. You're secure. Keep paying us the taxes, whatever it might be. You know, the 1400s, pay us. Our military protects your farm. You're good. The minute that the fucking enemy shows up and rapes your wife and burns down your farm, you're like, well, what the fuck? I thought you guys were protecting us. It happened all the time.
Good point.
All the time. So I think it's a guise, dude. And I think that people are angry and pissed off, and this is why conspiracy theories are coming out, because everybody has been red-pilled into this idea that we are safe and secure in America. Nobody can get inside of America. Nobody can get in here. Apparently you can, actually, in many ways.
I think that facade was sort of lifted after 9/11. I think it is when people started being like, oh, we're not as safe as we thought we were. But when it comes to something like this, do you think the people in the Palisades thought like, oh, were protected from the fires?
No, I think that.
Like, do you really think they thought that the response should have been quicker?
I'll speak generally.
Yeah, yeah, because it's hard for me to understand, like, okay, like, you live out there, you have to have some sort of security. Like, I know we live in a, like, a brush zone, there's super dry out here. What if there's a fire? And then in your head you go, well, we have a fire department.
Right. I think generally speaking, when you hear a lot of people talk from that area, particularly Malibu, you know, particularly when you're hearing celebrities, what's funny is as a running string which connects all of them, they all are like, hey, listen, I've lived through this before. I had a house in the 80s and Topanga burned down.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
So that's
the Malibu fires of 94 or something.
It's part and parcel living in that area. And I think that the reliance is like, oh, well, like, well, the insurance will pay for it. The magnitude of this suggests that there might not be any going back. When your house on the hillside burns down with 50 other houses, insurance is going to swoop in, maybe some federal aid, and you're going to come back to normal. There's celebrities who have lost 3 houses before, you know, and they just keep rebuilding. Mm-hmm. This is a situation where it's like, I don't think we can rebuild.
I don't think they're going to rebuild. Lost. That's what I'm saying.
And I think that this is where the blame thing comes out. This is where the whole element of like fucking crucify somebody comes out, because nobody mm-hmm. can deal with what they're facing, the reality that they're facing. It's a very hard reality. So lucky
it's
that
so we live final. In Hollywood. There's honestly. A finality to it when your house burns down. Like, what do
not
you
just
actually
house, but,
do?
But imagine the neighborhood you grew up in times gone. 10 is gone from a fire. The times 10. Imagine the whole town you grew up in, fucking Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Haddon Heights, New Jersey.
Haddon Heights. You know, that just is off the map. The Wawa's gone. It's gone. You can't even get a coffee at the Wawa anymore.
It's
dude.
Super depressing, man. I really don't even know how to wrap my head around it. Imagine, like, you know, you're just at work one day and then you come back and your wife's like crying because your house is burnt down. It's just it's a tragedy that I can't even begin to comprehend.
Yes.
And my heart goes out to those. It's so sad. I mean, it's really so sad. It was a sad week. It was like, we didn't really want to do anything fun. Like, it was just like, should we go out to dinner? It seemed wrong.
And everybody agreed with you and everybody felt the same.
It was just like too fucking weird, man. So,
yes.
I don't know how LA comes back from this, but like I said, the people of LA are super resilient. The pop-up,
The drives, donations.
Yeah, all the donations. It's great, man. It really is. It shows how like humanity is good as a whole.
And it proves a lot of people wrong about what they think of LA, which is great.
Yes,
it proves a lot of people wrong. You know?
It really does. And that was a beautiful, and it proved me wrong, because like I honestly think that LA is fake and it's full of a lot of bullshit people, and people only care about themselves. And what that really proved to me is that that's not really true at all. There's a lot of that on an individual level, but when something like this happens, LA showed up. So,
but one thing that is worth bringing up that also came from this is this underlying fucking psychological condition we have here called arsonism. And dude, for the past couple of days, I told you I had to delete my Citizen app. For the past couple of days, dude, it would be like, it's crazy. I feel like somebody's writing the script. It'd be like, man trying to set garbage on fire. And I'd be like, that's not cool. Damn. Okay. Man trying to use blowtorch to put building on fire.
I know.
Then I saw five men in Echo Park trying to light tree. Why are 5 men trying to light a tree on fire?
So what is
going
theory?
On here? I think arsonism is deeply connected to some sort of mental psychological disorder.
100%.
And I think what happens, and nobody realizes this, is that when fires like this happen, it triggers a response in people who are addicted to that, to whatever that is, you know? And
for
And I actually, I think there's probably versions of this in everything in life. It's just this happens to be one where the kid in West Hollywood who looks like some fucking hype boy 23-year-old USC student. You see that? He lit a palm tree on fire. They have footage of him.
Oh, yeah. At night, yes. He looks
like a normal fucking dude who strolled out of his apartment. And it's insane. It's like not a homeless transient guy. And they were like, why did you do this? What the fuck?
Oh, did they catch him?
Oh, yeah. He's on footage and everything. And they were like,
oh, I saw footage, but I've seen footage of the homeless people and shit, but I guess they can't catch them.
It's very hard to catch them. It's very hard to do anything with them. Put them in prison. And it's like, well, now we're going to pay for them to be in prison. We can't afford that. They're not even, you know.
I have a few ideas on what we could do with them, but we'll save that for
another.
A lot
of
bonus
people
episodes.
Agree with you about that. So the problem is like, now we're also confronted with the idea that like, seems like there's a little portion of society which kind of likes this. Dude,
like what gets, the destruction is sort of like the Dark Knight Joker mentality of burn it all down.
Dude, that character doesn't come from nowhere. That character is not just from somebody's imagination. That character is from society, from humans, from psyche. That character is not from nowhere, this evil character.
And listen, I get that to a degree of let's start fresh, the great restart in a sense, but not at the cost of human life or the cost of what, like ruining someone's entire life.
Well, sadism is a real thing. People like killing other people to see them hurt. That's for a real thing. You can't, you got to imagine that people like setting shit on fire to see a burn. People like setting shit on fire to see other people experience misfortune. I'm sure it's a condition. That's why arsonists, that is the definition of arsonism. You light it on fire for your own personal pleasure.
For sure. It's a, yeah, it's a pleasure receptor, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The smell of it, the sight. People love fire. I get it. That's why the bonfires are popular, because you're like, you sit around a fire. Like, I totally get
it. Well, and think about a fire is the one force of nature that it's not huge like the clouds. The clouds really can fuck us up with tornadoes and hurricanes, right? We can't even fuck with the clouds, let alone, you know, the sky and rain and all that precipitation. But fire, it's close enough to us that we can start it and we can manipulate it. But boy, do we have problems finishing it. Boy, do we have problems putting it out.
If it gets out of control, it's a major problem.
Yes.
Like, this is not something that's easily dealt with.
It's still burning. It's still burning.
It's crazy that it's still burning, by the way. I mean, there's, I've only seen like maybe 22, 23% of the Palisades fire is contained, which is crazy. It's been going on for
over
eight days,
right?
8 days now, or no, 9 days.
I mean, it's unfathomable.
It is. The arsonist thing is also interesting because it does touch on the mental health issue. And like, this is why LA and the powers that be get a lot of shit, because now people are politicizing this with attacking the mental health shit with the homeless people, saying, well, these people shouldn't have been out in the first place. Like, this is the Democrats' fault. This is the left's fault. And it's hard to just pin one. I'm very conscious of not just saying this 100%. This is the reason why people want to say, oh, it's the climate change. I think climate change is 100% real. I definitely believe it. I don't think it's 100% contributed to this fire. I think there's a lot of factors that made it grow, and people didn't put it out.
A lot of things perfectly came together.
It really did.
Now, what is climate change is they're not supposed to fucking happen at this period, from what I understand. They're a September phenomenon.
Fires?
Yes, this happening.
But I thought the Santa Ana winds were always around the same time.
They are, but I believe it's in the fall. Yeah, you know, fucking fact check that shit.
Santa Ana.
Where's Jamie, bro? Oh, my grandmother just texted me. She wants to know how we're doing. Shout out to Barbara.
Time frame. Well, it says September through May. It's a long time. Santa Ana winds are most common from September to May, the cooler months of the year.
Oh, wow. That implies, in January, last 2 to 3 days, during peak season. All right, you're right.
Which is December, January, February. There are usually five Santa Ana wind events per month.
Look at me pushing climate change. Let me look at me pushing on everybody.
I know, dude. You're government psyop now.
I'm psyop. No, I mean, I'm trying to be realistic. I'm trying to say climate change doesn't necessarily mean that, like, that doesn't explicitly mean humans are bad. What it explicitly, at the bare bones, means is that the climate in this planet, in this globe we live in, is changing. It's always changing. Always. We happen to be at a moment when we are alive and conscious and witnessing the transition. The debate about how responsible we are, that's something that is beyond me. That's for professional people to debate. I have no
for
fucking
sure.
stake in that.
I don't know either. I don't know how. Well, they want to talk about fossil fuels. They want to talk about, you know, your air conditioner being on.
Carbon emissions.
Yeah.
All
so
that.
Like, I don't know how we reverse it. And I don't think there is any reversing it, because you would need the masses to really change their entire lifestyle. And people are too selfish as people to be uncomfortable for a moment. Like I said, like, we're still able to turn our lights on. We're still able to turn the drinking water on. We're not going to really make a move until global warming is at our front door. And I guess what they're saying is it is
right. That's a suggestion. That's a suggestion. And it's pretty bad. But the thing is that nobody knows history. Nobody reads. We've had some crazy weather events in the past century. LA has experienced tornadoes. They actually call them, the news would call them water spouts in order to downplay the significance of them. They do want to call. So you have a lot of big things which happen. You have messaging from larger powers, media, to suggest they weren't as cataclysmic as they were. And I think that we're dealing with a little bit of the amnesia of our generation, where the boomers are kind of on their way out. Our last link, is what happens, though, with history, right? When the generation above us, which happens to be a huge part of our population, starts dying out, we lose connection to the past unless you read, unless you are plugged into the writings and the research and the things that people wrote down about what happened in that period.
Of course.
So I think we're not connected enough to the past to understand that you're not supposed to build in certain fucking areas that have already been wiped off the face of the earth in 1890, 1920. Sure. You know, like it's happened. It's happened a
but
lot.
But where do people go? People have to go.
Listen, you're not supposed to live on coasts. You're not supposed to live in Miami. You're not supposed to live on an island in fucking the Atlantic Ocean called Manhattan. You're not supposed to live. I mean, coasts sure. are to our benefit, obviously. We live on coasts historically because of the access to the water and what that does for international trade and boats and shipping. And all that good stuff.
And do you think people are just selfish and they want the nice coast weather? They want the views. They want to be able to get to the water.
I think
like
it's
the
most exciting form of life is living by an ocean. You know, sure. with the sun shining.
It's very peaceful.
It's peaceful. It plays into your visceral pleasures. You know, experience. This morning I'm out drinking my coffee and letting that sun roast my face, getting that pure vitamin D. You know, I just think that Ohio is generally safer, you know? It is.
Well, safer from natural disasters.
Correct.
For sure. I agree with you. I think people will, over the next 100, 500,000 years, push to the middle of this country.
There will have to be. And there will be nuts like me and maybe you. I'm staying here.
You're going down with the ship.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Sure.
When this little slice of SoCal breaks off into the ocean, I'll be here. I'll take the ferry back and forth to get to the mainland. I'll be here.
Absolutely. I've been hearing that for a while, that we're going to be underwater soon, blah, blah, blah. Or like our house is just going to fall right into the ocean.
I hear you on the blah, 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 but they also said, hey, LA might all burn down one day. And we just saw a minute version of what that could look like, right? So the problem is it's a lot of boy who cried wolf sometimes.
Until it's not. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, dude. I mean, I don't think we're immune to any sort of natural disaster. I think we could all be fucked eventually, but I think we look to the government and I look to certain people to protect us. And unfortunately they did not do that for a lot of people here. What was the deal with the reservoirs not being full?
I don't get it, but
what was the deal with no water coming out of the hydrants?
But you know that excuse though, right? That it was under repairs for a year.
For a year.
So here, do you believe this? Do you believe when they say that it wouldn't have made a dent? Right, they say it wouldn't have made a dent.
Of course, that's what they say. But how can that not make a dent?
Do you?
No, I believe that probably would have helped them. Mm-hmm. A whole reservoir full of water.
This is why you need a. So Newsom, this is where he went wrong. He said, "I'm going to conduct an investigation of that reservoir." The investigations are being conducted through the LA city government. That needs an independent person from some other. You got to fly somebody over from Germany.
Yeah, that has no ties to you. Yeah, of course.
To investigate that shit, bro.
Of course. And everyone's worried about their jobs. Everyone's worried about their heads rolling. So they're going to say what they're going to say to get through the conversation, to make you feel comfortable then. But that's maybe the truth, maybe not. I don't know. You look at like the LA fire department chief, the woman, the lesbian woman that everyone's angry at.
I forget her name.
I love her. I think she's great because I'll tell you why. She
Cawley, right?
Crowley, maybe. So she called out Karen Bass for cutting the budget. And these people are supposed to be on the same team.
Right.
So when someone steps out of line like that and doesn't follow the orders like a sheep, I respect them. Now, she could have been a DEI hire. I don't fucking know. That's not for me to decide. My guess is that she probably was. I'm not saying
I'm okay with that woman busting in and picking me up. I'm okay with it. Like, I don't think anybody, I think we're at the point in the society where we don't care. Whatever you want to be, just fucking do the job.
But just do the job.
Put the fire out. And if a bunch of fucking butch ass women from West Hollywood are going to do it, hire them all.
Yeah,
put
I don't care.
Put them all in. I want them. But like
if they don't do their job, it's a problem.
If they don't do a job, it's a problem. It doesn't seem like the fire department has any blame on this one. And unfortunately, I do think they're taking things out of context. Certain things that people have said, I think there's things being taken out of context, but I applaud her.
I
love
her.
It's not a career move, but she's not throwing somebody under the bus, but she doesn't seem like it. She seems like a woman we might have grown up with. You better walk the streets in Northeast Philly. That's like a woman that I could see in like Ben Salem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think she has a trustworthy face. I trust her. I'm not saying that she's, but she is right when she's calling out Karen Bass for cutting $18 million from the fire department budget months before the tragedy. I'm not saying this is like done on purpose, but
I think we're so in the moment that we won't fully know the effects of all these things for a while, and that's the unfortunate thing. And people have to sit on their hands and deal with the fact that time has to pass a little bit before we roll heads. And if they're incorrect, roll the heads. If they're at fault, roll the heads. But until we know that,
sure,
we've got to focus on what's happening right now. And this whole thing is creating a distraction, and that's why there's been a lot of movements to highlight Altadena, for instance. Like, highlight what that is, because we're getting lost in all this media sauce right now and this political sauce.
For sure. And everything's politicized.
Yes, and it's like the problem is like, okay, let's recall everybody. Let's get them out now. Who's going to step in? Who's supposed to step in? The people, like, let these
competent people.
Yes, and the recall was made for somebody who is, the recall came in California in like early 1900s, right? This idea that you could recall a politician.
Which is a great idea.
Which is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be careful as a precedent, because we also don't want to get in a situation where
just recalling willy nilly. Yeah,
everybody gets recalled all the time. Like, I think, sure. I think it's kind of at that point with impeachment. Every year it's like impeach Obama, impeach Biden, let's impeach yeah. Trump. Trump got impeached twice.
I guess, twice? But like, I don't even really know what that means. If he was still the president,
there's some powers which are removed, but you're still the president. There's yeah. some limitations placed on you. But remember, they wanted to make sure he didn't get in office again. That was part of the last impeachment. It was like they wanted to make sure that was included.
He had every
in
red stain on him, so yes. that people. But
and,
what
and
what
legally as well? They wanted to make sure that was a part of that situation.
Sure, but what that proved and what he proved is that nobody cares. Nobody cares about the awful things that he said or alleged the awful things that he's done.
Sure, I mean, listen, the incoming president calling the governor of the largest state in the union new scum. I don't like it. I'm not a huge I don't understand why it's the way he moves. I don't think it's right for his legacy. I don't, like, why don't you work on your legacy, dude?
Because his legacy is cemented, because he has so many yeah. sycophants out there, like us talking about him on a podcast saying, ah, that's not too presidential. That's not going to diminish his legacy at all.
No.
People love him that he's like that.
That's correct.
And I got to be honest with you. I don't hate it. I think that I don't like the words he uses. And I don't like the way he necessarily goes about it. But calling out governors for their dumb shit as the president, I think that's fine. Honestly, I think yes. saying new scum is childish. But he's a marketer. He's let me say he's a grifter.
I say salesman. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a salesman. He's a grifter. He's a fucking marketing genius. So, like, he's looking for that word that makes people hate Newsom subconsciously.
Yeah.
Like, people that are like on the fence in a year, 2 years, three, when Newsom runs for president, they might like remember subconsciously, like, oh, he's scum. I'm not going to vote for him. Trump is sure. a smart guy.
Crooked Hillary.
Oh, they Sleepy love that
Joe.
One.
Sleepy Joe is big. This guy's a comedian. He should have been a comedian. He just gone that route.
He was part of the entertainment business. I mean,
correct.
He was at the roast of Donald Trump. I mean, he would never do that now. He's shifted so much into politicizing everything. He's not fun anymore.
Right.
But I mean, he's still an instigator, and he's moving
the
needle.
He's fun, but it has a real impact. His fun. It has real.
Real world consequences.
Real world consequences. Yeah. You know, like, so it's interesting because, you know, you have the Hamas Israel thing right there. And, yeah. you know, the big question.
Whose side
right,
are you on?
I'm on peace. I want peace.
Sure.
That's a big topic. This is too big.
This is too big. Well, I'll say I'm definitely on the Jew side. I'm a big fan of the Jew. That's just that's where I come from. I got Jews in my family. I got a Jew to my right. Like, you know, I got to be a fan
I have
of the
a percentage
Jew.
Of me. Yeah. Enough.
Ashkenazi. Yeah,
Ashkenazi.
I know.
You know, I also, you know, my wife's grandfather went through a whole ordeal in the Holocaust as well. Grandfather. You know, I know people who are related to people who really went through what that was, that Holocaust, the fallout from it, before it, what that was like for Jewish people. I think that they made a never-ending problem by the British made a never-ending problem by taking a piece of land and kicking everybody out who lived there and saying, these people live here now. They made a never-ending problem. And it was the British who did that, by the way. They are at fault entirely from the very beginning for a lot of things in society.
Sure.
I hate to say it. But or the world structure. I don't know what the ceasefire is about. I don't know who's responsible
for it. I have no idea. But I know that Trump did say if the hostages aren't released in a certain amount of time, there will be hell to pay.
Right.
And that did move the needle a little bit because now
he might have also known. Here's the thing where you have to be careful. He might have known that Biden and that they were going to fix this shit before Biden left. This is tantamount to Biden's legacy to make sure he's the one who established peace in the Middle East, you know, in one of the gravest periods
sure.
of war. So I think that Trump also knows when things are going to happen and positions himself as the person who is the originator of that. I think we'll never know. You know, Zita asked me, my wife, she's like, do you think like Trump had anything to do with it? I'm like, listen, people are interacting with the president-elect right now. World leaders are meeting with him. People are sucking up to him.
Of course.
People are trying to get real cozy with him right now.
Like Zuckerberg.
Our boy Zuck getting rid of that fact-checking, man. Yeah, he's done with that fact-checking.
Zuck really like flipped his tune big time.
Well, because now everybody knows that Trump's going to reward big tech and they're cozying up. Before, you were rewarded in big tech by following the social orders of the Democratic Party and the social restructuring of society. That's how you were rewarded. Now you got to figure out how you're going to get rewarded by Trump. Clearly, money rules everything. Cream, cash rules everything around me. I mean, it's the truest fucking whatever that is with initials that make up a word.
CR, an acronym.
Acronym. It's the truest one of all.
Cream, baby.
Cream. But
yeah, okay. So the Hamas-Israel thing, I don't really know what it entails. I know it's going to be a couple months before things actually...
Hostages first, I believe.
Hostages first, or like Israel needs to move out of Gaza, move all that. But then I saw there was an attack hours after the fucking...
well, it's like when World War... And that always happens, historically. World War II. Really? Yeah. Hitler surrenders, but there's still like a battle going on a week later. Like, it actually always happens. Sure. It's crazy it happens in modern day society when news travels in a millisecond, but it does still happen. And that's part and parcel. I'm sure people are still going to die from this conflict for months, unfortunately, even though we're at the beginning of peace talks. Hopefully they stay last.
I'm really happy that obviously it's a tragic thing, and it's a tragedy for the entire world because things get very rocky.
Yes.
When it comes to crypto, when it comes to stock markets, things get very weary of wars that can actually break out into a world war.
Yes.
So this is great for the society. I'm wondering about how this is going to affect, you know what? God, everything's a distraction because like, we don't hear Russia or Ukraine anymore. You don't hear anything about that anymore. Oof. Nobody cares.
No. In fact, that's probably the greatest thing for Putin is this distraction.
Of course, he can do whatever he wants.
He can fucking push harder. Absolutely.
And is I don't Putin think that, closer with Trump or like does Putin benefit more with Trump in office or Biden? I think Trump, right?
You would assume Trump.
Oh yeah, no Trump because they're not going to be giving aid to Ukraine anymore. Is the big thing.
That's correct. That's the statement. I don't know how many things Trump follows through with. I don't know how many things he follows through with.
What are your thoughts on, and like we don't have to get too deep into it, but your thoughts on like America being sort of the charity case, like charity for every other country?
It's over. We can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we can afford it.
The question 20 years ago.
So why do they continue to do it though? I don't understand it. How, like,
because
like
when they say the world hegemony is rooted in Europe depends on the United States maintaining hegemony. Parts of Africa, Australia, Canada,
I know,
South America, which not that we've treated them very well, but like they depend on our rule of law. And if we're not the rule of law, we don't know how things end up in the next 5, 10, 20, 25 years. We don't know. There's a vacuum.
Yeah, so we are the police of the world.
Vacuums means war. Big
war. Of course. So yeah, of course. But I don't understand how we're writing checks to these places when our own towns or cities are like third world cities at this point.
Because unfortunately,
like what's the truth of the
matter? The truth of the matter is that the state, whatever happens in Ukraine and in Russia, unfortunately, is more important to the future of the world than the Pacific Palisades and Altadena. I hate to say it; it's terrible, for sure. No, but unfortunately, it's about the intensity and the indication of what happens. And that's why it's like, yeah, it's like, why do we not take care of our own? It's insane. But it's because the nature and the position of our country, it indicates and infers so much for the outside world. There's so much pressure from the outside world that we have orchestrated quite clearly to maintain that structure.
But don't you think that there's benefits to America if Ukraine and Russia continue the war? Biden and our government, they're not writing checks out of the goodness of their heart, is what I'm saying. Like, there's a benefit to something. I don't really know what it is, but war is profitable in America all the time. So, like, them continuously fighting Russia with our money and the guns and the weaponry we give them benefits us somewhere down the line. Someone's pockets are getting filled. Someone's hands are getting greased.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just out of the goodness of our heart. So that's where I think people get pissy about it. And like, hey, why are you spending this money? What's the real reason?
Right.
Like, you're sending $300 million to this person, $300 million to Israel, whatever.
Because we don't fight the wars. We make sure that other countries fight our wars.
Yeah, we're in a proxy war.
We do not fight them anymore. We fund them. We fund them for you.
Which is sort of the same thing.
Yes, except none of us are being sent over there. So no. It doesn't. So the remember, yeah. I think the centralized government learned a lesson in Vietnam. I was like, holy shit! But like this could turn into a real social disorder. Vietnam, that defined a generation. The, mm-hmm. the revolution back and forth, the hippieism, that defined a real. A generation of being anti-war, all these politicians that came from anti-war stances, even McCain, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that the government has evolved to make sure that whatever they're doing militarily, aggressively, does not involve people from this entity with inside, because that's unfortunately where you bring the opposition, the visceral opposition.
Sure. So it's actually benefiting America by saying, we're not going to send any of our boys over there.
No.
But we're going to send you a fat check.
Money, and we're going to put you up on a platform and put your flags outside of all of our buildings.
They love that.
And we're going to say, we stand with you. And it's a little, frankly, disgusting, because what we're saying is we stand here behind our wall and we give you money and get crazy and
for sure, but here's our flag so you know that we're on your side.
No, it's terrible. And the question is it necessary? Is war a necessary thing to maintain power in our modern society? It's an uncomfortable question.
100% it is.
I mean, that's historically true.
Yeah, right? I don't think I think on mass scales history repeats itself a lot of the times. Individuals probably become better, but I think mass countries are the same after years and years and years. It's always going to be the same.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
What do you think about this Greenland thing?
I don't get it.
This is so fascinating. This but is I don't so get crazy. It.
Why is he obsessed with Greenland all of a sudden? Like, I mean, is he literally just conquering? Is he just like imperialism all over again?
I believe that Greenland is a wealth of minerals and resources. Remember, Greenland's also melting. Greenland's melting. It's when you fly over it, go in Greenland, Europe, you can see a lot of its coast now.
Yeah, Greenland is covered in ice, and Iceland is very nice, is what I've always heard. Iceland doesn't have ice, but Greenland does. Oh,
that's funny. I didn't know
it was that. Like a flip. Yeah. I think it was from D2 Muddy Duck. Shout out to that. That was where I learned that information.
Okay.
But now all that ice is melting. So what, you think that the country's going to be underwater?
That country is not about, I don't think it's about underwater. I think that country has an amount of resources that has been untouched and untapped. It also provides an outpost for the United States, a helpful outpost, military outpost. I think this era could be defined by expansionism in a way that we have not seen since the Louisiana Purchase, to be honest with you. And it's interesting how it's happening, because the way Trump signals is, hey, we're going to buy it. We're going to buy it from you. We need it.
It's what huge. He really means. Dude, look how
it's
big.
The same. It's bigger than the United States.
Holy shit. I had no idea it was that big.
So what this means is if you look at this is like $100 trillion. Look at it in terms of money. Trump's a money guy. That's $100 trillion. Right, like right there in resources and in everything that is.
Sure,
that
but do you think Trump has information on Greenland that others don't have?
I wouldn't put it past that Greenland has been a conversation of administrations for decades, since the 1800s.
I see.
I wouldn't put it past you. Remember that it is currently governed by Denmark, I believe, right? It's currently under the auspices of the Danish.
It is, the territory of Denmark.
Right, and it's autonomous, which means that they still get a little bit of a say in it, which is very weird. They have opened up recently and said, hey, we're interested in talking to you, America. We're interested in what that means. We're not going to buy it. It's not going to become a state. It's going to become a state in the 21st century version of a state. You use the fucking US dollar. Everybody uses the dollar there. Mm-hmm. We establish a direct trade route. We're able to conduct logistics militarily, export, import through your countries, through your ports, your harbors. I think that is the move Trump's trying to make. Does he make it? Is it successful? I don't know. But I think
probably strategically it's a smart move. I'm not a military mastermind, but there's something beneficial about it. But I think just the optics of it doesn't look good. Like to everyone else and to everyone in the country, like what, Trump's like looking to just take over other countries now? Like
I don't think it's a country.
Greenland's not a country.
It's an autonomous, let's see, autonomous
territory.
It's not a kingdom. It's an autonomous territory.
And look how small Denmark is, and like
for sure.
So far away from Greenland, really.
Yes.
That's bizarre, dude.
Yes.
Old European structure and the way they divvied up land after World War II is a little wacky.
Well, it turns out we still are living in the very last entrails of European colonialism. We're still living inside of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still inside of it, dude. Even though it's a little bit here and there, we're still inside of it. The last bastion of some of their colonialism, we're still feeling out and figuring out. And this Greenland might be the last one. Actually, it might be the final drop
of imperialism.
It might
colonialism,
which is funny because what then it's just fully an admission that, okay, now America is the imperialist. It truly is the imperialist power. And I think that we're at a tricky time in our, I mean, we usually annex things when we really need them. Sure. And I don't think this direction, again, I'm sure this is a conversation. I'm sure it's a topic, dude, with every administration.
This has been like brought up before. Like they get the memo, like, are we going to discuss Greenland today?
Yeah, I do. Come on. Do you think Trump just fucking birthed this while he's sitting on a plane eating McDonald's?
I don't know. I've never heard of it before. I never heard of anything like this happening where like, oh, we're very interested in Greenland.
I think there's a lot of things we don't hear about, man. I think there's a lot of things.
Do you think the government should be as transparent with its people as some may like? I liked it when we didn't know what was going on.
It was much better.
It when we didn't have social media. I don't need to know what's going on in Missouri today, right this second. I really don't need to know.
Because I think what happened was we removed this guise that they're you know, what's the government doing? The government's doing this. It's like, yeah, of course the government's doing that. They're the ones in charge. I don't know if we elected them. I don't know if it's a system which just happens.
I don't know if we need to know about it.
And that's and like that's the other topic. It's not about blissful ignorance. The problem is that we all agree that there has to be a central authority ruling our society. It's just how it is. We don't live in this situation where everybody's equal 100%, everybody hold hands. It's not it, unfortunately. You need in the way we still have borders. We still have the whole country is divided up by borders. Unfortunately, it doesn't work unless each place that's surrounded by borders and walls has one person calling the shots. It just doesn't work, unfortunately. It's like a film set. If there's no director, everybody's like, what the fuck's going on? Why is the producer, fuck the producer, why is the DP directing? Like, it's like a director.
For sure. I heard a quote once, like, the film set is a collaboration, but it's not a democracy.
It's definitely not a democracy.
Meaning, like, the director is in charge no matter what. So we can collab, we can discuss, we could talk, you could be involved in conversations, but the ultimate decision needs to be made by one person. It gets a little wonky when there's too many people have too many opinions, and I think that's what's happening now because we're exposed to so much information that we shouldn't ever, I don't want to know. I don't need to know the inner workings of a Greenland deal.
But
now everyone's like, they need to tell us. I'm like, we were a lot happier. We were a lot calmer. America was at a lower temp. When we didn't have access to all this stuff. So information
about this, though, that I think that information is being used in the exact way you're talking about, just differently. Maybe this whole Greenland thing, me and you've been talking about for 10 minutes, maybe it's not going to fucking happen. It's just something that was thrown out there to fucking consume minds.
I haven't heard about it in a week, so I don't know if it's in the news cycle anymore. The fires
I'm
took
sure
over.
It is. There's just so many things popping off. But I wouldn't put it past that these topics are thrown out there to consume us for a week. And
of
I mean,
course,
really,
it's working.
I mean, and it works. So I don't know. And it's amazing they're able to do that. 8 billion people. The planet's fucking huge.
It's crazy.
And they're still able to kind of manipulate your minds and deceive you and control you and make you feel certain ways. I mean, it's amazing.
All through our little phone.
Our little phone that we all must have. You must have that phone. There's no way around it. There's no way.
It's a very interesting time we're living in.
It's no way.
I'm looking forward.
Techno-feudalism, I call it.
Techno-feudalism. That's the name of the episode.
Dang.
I'm looking forward to the next 2, 3, 4 years. Last time I talked to you, Trump hadn't won yet. He's officially won. We have his inauguration coming up. Oh, by the way, what did you do for January 6th, your national holiday?
Did
you storm anywhere? Did you storm the
no,
DGA?
No, I lit the candles. No, what I do is I put up the picture of Christopher Columbus and I light the candles.
Next to your picture of Luigi?
Luigi. And Napoleon's next to him.
All the white destructive people that we ever had in society, I want them all on a candle in my house.
Some votives or whatever.
So we got the inauguration coming up. I'm looking forward to it, I think. I mean, I'm not a Trump guy, but I'm definitely not a Biden guy. I'm excited for a little change. He is a bit of a nut, obviously. So I'm wondering how smooth this is going to be. Like, I hope it's not too fascist-like, honestly. Like, because people are very concerned about that. Fascism, people love throwing that word around.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of connected with the Greenland thing, it is a little bit of a fascist vibe. Like, we want this now, and we're going to take this, and we're and all these executive orders. This is what I'm going to do.
I know that
my
you don't
first
want it.
Day.
I know that you don't want it, but guess what?
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of people that do.
Of course.
There's a lot
the country
of people
does.
Who that do. And I agree with you that, listen, dude, I actually don't want him to not succeed. I want positiveness. I want to give a person a chance. Now, we had him for 4 years, right? Not too many crazy, disgusting, terrible things happened.
I don't
him.
Know. I kind of forget that whole time because of the pandemic.
I think it was quite uneventful until the pandemic. It was quite uneventful.
2016. So he went into 2017, January 2017. I don't even remember where I was. Philly, working. I was a server, bartender. Like, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember too
You're living that great, ignorant life that you want to get back to, right?
Yeah, I don't need You're to know. I don't want my finger on the pulse. It's right, very depressing. Right. I like to just go in, clock out.
Sure, sure, man. I mean, and I get it.
But now, what he did was really politicize everything. Everyone's obsessed with politics now. Everyone's obsessed with his next move.
Well, he controlled the narrative completely.
He's a smart guy. I said it before, he created these problems and then he created himself as the savior of these problems.
Yes, of course.
Which is a really genius.
But I also think he knows how to make himself the bad guy and then use that. He knows that for a certain group of people, he's the bad guy and he plays into that.
Oh, for sure.
He plays into that. So everybody unknowingly is wrapped around him. My concern is that
there's never been anyone like this in my life,
dude. Human history. Trump has a big chapter, big,
crazy,
big segment.
Guy. Yeah,
it's a big segment for him.
Donald J.
Trump, Scottish lineage. Like who? Right? I mean, it's like it's very unsuspecting. I mean, he's a super rich guy, so I guess it makes a lot of sense that he's.
There's a lot
of
super rich guys. What separated him from all the other super rich guys in New York? I have no idea.
Well, you know what it was though. He was able to wield his power through media, boxing events, movies,
The Apprentice.
Think about all the rap songs. R.I.P. Mac Miller, but his biggest song to date is Donald Trump. His biggest song on YouTube to date, views wise. I'm sure they tried to
change
that.
That's not the one that says, fuck Donald Trump. That's YG.
That's YG who recently said, hey, you know what? My bad. You know that, right? He came out,
he came out and said,
my bad, actually. I see where he's headed. I see. I mean,
hey,
Stephen A. Smith is fucking out for Trump now.
Who?
Dude. Smith?
Stephen A. Smith?
Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. He's watched
Trump
his shit, bro. I think he's like a lot of people. He doesn't want to see, like, you don't want to see him fail because if he fails, then we kind of fail. That's the problem.
And also, I think people are a little sick of the current administration. Like, it's more like we're just tired of this shit.
Yes.
Because, like, that's how I feel. I'm not necessarily a fan of Trump. Do I want him to succeed? Of course I do. And it's funny with the YG thing, because a lot of hip-hop guys love Trump. A lot of rap people love Trump. A lot of minorities
Black
love Trump.
Black Donald Trump. Remember the Young Jock song? Meet me in the park. Black Donald Trump. Like, no. I mean, dude. I mean,
they love him because he has a lot of money and he's successful and... He rubs shoulders with a lot of famous people. Like, he's an icon, dude. Donald Trump is a fucking icon.
Yes, entirely.
So we're headed down to the inauguration. We're heading into that week, I think.
I thought you said you're going down there. I was like, you're going to D.C.?
No. I meant we're heading into that week. I guess that's next week, right? What the hell? Yeah, it's the 21st.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to be president, dude.
When is the 21st?
Trump 2.0.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. So everyone strap in for that. Wanted to touch on crypto a little bit because you're the crypto kid. So where are we, Tony Sly? Are things looking good or things looking bad?
No.
Are we on a bit of an upswing? Where are we? How's your portfolio looking?
I don't own a lot of projects. I'm an NFT or Bitcoin ordinals guy. That's my world. So I'm not into the coins necessarily.
You don't own any coins anymore?
No, it's all into
really.
NFT
you don't
projects.
Own nothing.
No. Wow, I own some. I own some in various AI projects. Some no big holdings. It's really about NFTs, about art, about cultural projects. That's what I'm into. That's my joy in crypto.
Sure.
I don't like this market thing. It's not fun to me. It's not fun to me the stock market aspect. What's fun to me is the art and speculating on art and speculating on cultural movements and mimetic movements. That's what's fun to me. That's the joy of crypto.
Sure.
But it's all based, of course, in these projects. Let's not lie. I'm not going to beat around the bush. So where we're at right now is a big question in the insider cabal community is, where are we at in the cycle? Are we at the end? Are we at the beginning? Are we in the middle? Nobody can figure it out.
Yeah, how can you figure that out?
Nobody can figure it out. I will tell you that lots of companies are mobilizing. Lots of companies are getting interest as they transition into more AI adjacent technology that they use within blockchain. There's a lot of money being diverted to those companies who simply just put .ai on the end of their name, honestly.
Yeah, what's that about?
It turns out that artificial intelligence is not just this thing that exists on its own. It is an industry. And, the people inside of the industry want to make sure it keeps moving and make sure it keeps dominating things.
Of course.
AI doesn't happen on its own. It's pitched like that. Can't stop it. Well, no. There's still humans behind it. There's still humans marketing it, selling it. Right. For now.
Until
the sci-fi,
James Cameron, Terminator.
Yes, of course. Until that happens, it's still humans. And it's actually not an unstoppable wave. It's just, it's animal spirits. It's pure animal spirits.
Which website can I go to right now to look at the current prices of things? Because I
all right. Shout out. Go to cryptoslam.io. That's the company I work for. They are an aggregator of crypto.
Cryptoslam.io?
Yeah. All I know is Bitcoin's not at 100 yet, but the fact that it hit 100 is insane. The fact that it actually happened is insane. XRP's 350, something like that. So Bitcoin just popped at 100. ETH 3,300, big underperformer.
Give me an XRP number.
328.
Fuck yeah.
$3.28. Solana's 210. BNB 700, which is kind of crazy. Dogecoin's still up there. So, this market's interesting. The big thing that's been happening is AI. Are you familiar with AI agents?
I am not.
AI agents is a new thing which is popping up. I think that that people are going to be interacting with AI agents in ways they didn't know. I'll explain. Okay. All it is Google and ChatGPT turned into a Twitter account, basically. And you can say, and you ask it questions like ChatGPT, but you can also have it do things for you, right?
Like,
spin up a fucking cryptocurrency for me, right? Spin up a currency called this with this, and it'll be like, cool. Send me the liquidity. You'll send it to Solana to start the liquidity of the coin. Like, it also, what's on the future is like tweeting out like, hey, such and such, like order me a fucking pizza from Domino's. Like, that's on its way too. So this AI agent stuff is just the next iteration of stuff. I don't think the next iteration is insane, but they're certainly tokenizing it and they're monetizing it and they're trying to figure out the next big a way of making money out of it, which is probably in this consumeristic way where it's going to be like Siri, Siri, it's like, hey Siri, what's the capital of Arkansas? Now it's going to be like, Siri, check out what's under the, check out the problem with my car and get in touch with the best mechanic to fix it. 2 seconds later, we have found a mechanic in Glendale who will do this. It'll cost $217. I've already paid for you,
Jesus.
I don't think it's that far off because all you're doing is having the things that already exist for us communicate to each other. If I need an oil change, I go on to the Mazda website. I say I want it at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, right? All we're doing is coming up with developments, software developments to let all these things communicate and still maintain some air of privacy in terms of our money, in terms of like what those aspects are.
It's risky. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of entryways into our personal lives and into our personal information that we can't really block anymore because...
And I don't think we care, honestly, as a society. I don't think we care about privacy. I don't think we would give a shit.
Well, honestly. Not until like, I think people care like about their photos being something like that, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
that's like on a very personal level, but like, do I care if computers have my bank information? I mean, they already do.
You can't maneuver without that anyway.
No, you cannot.
I can't pay for stuff without that anyway. So...
I'm a little worried about the AI just being like taking over in the sense of like going into Bank of America's central hub and getting rid and
that's going to happen
and making everyone have zero.
That's going to happen. And what's going to happen is that's going to be an accident and it's going to say, oh, our bad. Holy shit.
And then what happens to our money?
It's gone. Hopefully we're still at a point when the FDIC will bail us out and
up to a certain amount.
Right. But that's going to happen. That's you better believe, right. It already happened. AI controls the emergency systems for LA.
So is what I'm saying, Tony Sly, you're saying that there's people behind this AI, but it is acting on its own.
Yes.
AI is aware.
You still need people to conduct the AI. You still need people to wield it and develop it.
At first.
Yes.
But then they kind of let it go. If you love something, let it go.
They let it go and it probably fucks up big. Okay. And then the developer has to go in and make sure that fuck up doesn't happen again, and then it fucks up again. Like, it's not clean, dude. This is not clean. This is scary. It's not fucking clean. So
what, will it ever be clean?
That's what the people who are behind it say. Yes, of course, one day it'll be seamless and it'll just learn.
You think we'll be alive for that?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a lot of tweaking in our lifetime until they really like figure it out.
Oh, I see you're saying for that. Yeah, I agree with you. I do actually think it's centuries off before. Yeah. I actually don't think we move as quickly as we think we do. And once money dries up, once money is gone, this remember we went to the moon in 68, we never went back. Once the
allegedly
money dries, right. Once the money, that's one of my favorite conspiracy theories, but once the money dries up, this stops. It, you know, once
people, well, of course. And I think there's only going to be a few companies or going to be a few people that control this sort of technology. Musk,
they're
maybe
trying
being
Meta.
One.
Meta's trying hard. They
of
have
course.
AI,
Google,
visual
Meta,
software now. Yeah. Twitter, Grok.
Twitter, fucking, it's going to be
Microsoft.
It's going to become very singular. There's going to be six or seven companies that are running in the entire world.
Yeah. And they will put, they will make Carnegie, they will make the steel companies, they will make all these things we read about that needed to be busted up, whatever they called it, that turned into monopolies.
Dismantled.
They will make them seem like little blips on the map in terms of the power that they wield.
And the wealth that they have.
And the wealth that they, yes, they bring in, for sure. So,
oh boy,
I'm not pessimistic.
You seem to be positive about the AI thing, and that kind of helps me out a little bit, because I think if you was a smart guy, you got your finger on the pulse of this sort of technology. So if you're like, I think we're okay, I'm like, all right, well then I think we're going to be okay. Like, I don't think we're going to be taken over Skynet, Terminator 2 style. I really just don't think that's going to happen.
No, but I would say strap in. I think unfortunately we live in this extremely transitionary time where we have to, from climate change, right, to AI, to changing powers, to monetary uncertainty, we are going to be, we're not living in a time of peaceful existence. Luckily, we don't have anybody attacking us. Luckily, we don't have to deal with what war brings. But everything else, I think it's pretty, not yet, you're right. It's pretty transitionary otherwise. Relatively non-physical and non-threatening, physically, existentially, but I think mentally and psychologically, it's quite disturbing what we have to kind of keep trudging through as a society.
Of course, and I think you're doing a hell of a job, Tony Sly.
I'm trying. I did want to talk about your therapist number when we get off of this. So
don't go to therapy now. I'm saying I used to go to a lot of therapy. When I was younger, my mom wanted me to go into it. It was like, I was like,
so you were ahead of the wave.
I was young as shit.
Oh, wow.
I was a young kid going to therapy because I was bad in school. Not like bad, like setting fires, but like
made jokes. You cracked jokes.
Yeah. I wasn't sitting still or whatever. Yeah, so they all thought I needed therapy. The child study teams all across the board, whatever.
Okay.
So I am a fan of therapy. I'm a proponent of it. I think it definitely works wonders. But I think everyone's on their own journey. I don't think there's a right wrong way of getting better mentally. I think it's just like whenever it clicks for you, it works.
No, that's good. That's good to hear.
You never went to any sort of therapy?
No, the only therapy I went to was speech therapy, and this is very terrible, but this is how my mind worked when I was young. In third grade, I realized that the kids who go to therapy, speech therapy, they get toys at the end, right? So I developed the lisp, and
on purpose.
Yeah. And after 2 weeks, after 2 weeks, she was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Like, she was like, Anthony, like, I know you're lying.
She didn't say it to me, but she was like, can you say that word again? I'd be like,
wow,
and she's
a fake,
like,
list.
Yeah, you didn't say that before. And she's like, all right, take your fucking toy and get back to class, all right? You fucking get my get the poppers, you know, you put the popper down and it flips up.
Of course, that was a great game. Of course. Yeah, I went to a speech therapy myself. I still kind of have a trouble with saying it. My R's, like, I would say girl instead of girl.
Oh, interesting.
Like, girl, 12, like, I had a little bit of a speech something. I don't know.
Impediment,
I don't know
what, it's called. Impediment.
I had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Which I try to work through.
You sound good to me now.
Thank you, Tony Sly. What else here? What about we're going to end on this. The TikTok ban. Do you think this is happening? Is this something we should be worried about? Is it the woke mind virus run amok? Tony Sly?
No, I think it's, I think, well, why is woke attached to it? I'm curious.
I'm kidding.
I'm totally kidding. I think it's another one of those things which will never happen. There's too much of American.
You don't think TikTok is going to be banned?
No.
It's set to be banned this Sunday, January 19th.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is this. Two things. Either A, you might not be able to download it off the App Store and for a little while. That could happen.
Okay.
You might not be able to download it. Everybody that has it will be able to use it. Especially
you mean
the
like
VPN.
Our accounts will still be active?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know, but I can't imagine. I think the worst that they do is disable it to be downloaded. This is The problem is that this is a couple things right now. It's a monetary financial thing. It's a governmental thing. It's a society thing.
And it's a matter of national security.
Clearly.
Yeah.
National security. I mean, it's...
No, I'm serious. Like, it is a Chinese-based company. Like, I don't think it's crazy that China's infiltrated our system.
The problem is that there's a degree of privacy and wielding of data and information, which seems to be pert near nefarious, right?
Of course.
So, unfortunately, what has to happen is the United States potentially has to force China or force them into giving us that access and that power. And there's got to be some sort of deal arranged so it works out for everybody. I don't know if it's going to work, but it's going to have to be a deal. It's going to have to be a fucking deal.
In what way? Like China, they can't have listening devices on our phone, or TikTok can only have access to this many?
We're going to have to give them a little bit of what they want. They're going to have a little access into that data. They're going to have to, but we're going to be able to block things like address, things like, I think they're going to have to figure out what they don't have access to, what they do have access to, how the financial thing breaks down, because this is also something which could generate a lot of money, a lot more money for the United States, just being able to wield this and wield what it is.
Sure.
So it's don't get me wrong. This is a fight. This is a battle. And this is not necessarily America is right. This is just objectively a battle to, it's almost like controlling a territory. It's like, this territory is, we want it. And this other country says, well, we, it's on our land. We want it.
Of course. And now I feel like when it comes to algorithm stuff, when you look at like what they show in China and then what they show on here on TikTok, it's like making us stupider. Like, it's attacking the youth. It's a very strategic military operation. I honestly do think that, because let's be honest, everything's state run in China. So TikTok is a Chinese based company. The government has their hand in it no matter what.
Yep.
So knowing that America is involved or loves one of their products, they're going to use it against us in some sort of way. So algorithmically, yeah, they're showing, you know, hot girls dancing. They're showing, you know, car accidents.
That's what we like.
I know, but it's
like that.
It's what we like for sure. But I'm saying, like, what they show in China is like, you know, math problems or like scientific equations.
Right, because
like,
that's not their culture. The culture is not a girl dancing on top of a Corvette with the, yeah, like unfortunately.
But I think that makes us stupid, though. I'm saying watching girls on tops of Corvettes makes us more stupid than if we watch.
Whoever said we were smart, honestly. Whoever said we were smart. I think that this country has survived because a small sort of percentage of people are Albert Einstein, I don't believe, is American born, right? He's German.
Not, he's German.
So think about it. Some of the smartest people that we've claimed are from other countries. And sure, I think that we're very good at making sure they come here and we give them the money to do their thing and keep pushing our society forward.
Sure, we commandeer them. Meanwhile, we go, you're ours now.
Yeah, we're the consumers. We make sure that we keep this system going. We keep consuming. We keep this economy going. I don't think we've ever been that smart of a country or culture.
Yeah, as a whole, no.
Say it.
As a whole, no. But I'm just saying, if I was making laws and making the decisions on TikTok, and I could be like, okay, well, in 20 years, these young people that have been fed this sort of content, sure, versus the Chinese that are the same age that are being fed this sort of content, this could be bad for future generations. I think, certainly, we should get rid of this. That's my personal opinion if I was running the show. Now, TikTok,
I think it's a bad precedent, though.
Oh, for sure, it is. But like, I don't think... I think they have our best interests when they do this now. I don't think it's a thing where they're lining their pockets with something from TikTok or something. I don't know what the benefit for them would be, but it's only beneficial for future generations if we do ban TikTok.
Well, and I think you're right. You touched on something interesting. It's okay to think that the government sometimes acts on our best interests, because the government
I
is
hope
us.
They do at some
we
time.
Are the government. And remember, if we're out of control and we're wild, we threaten what that is. So they have to make sure we're not out of control, we're not wild. Like, sure, there has to be a balance placed. And that's why, like, during COVID, they just printed nonstop money. It's like, give these motherfuckers checks and shut them the fuck up and have, like, sure, right? Remember Bush 9/11? He's like, go to the mall and shop a little bit, guys.
Yeah, the stimulus package.
The stimmies. And me and you were living life hard. we were enjoying life off of those stimmies.
Yeah,
dude.
During the COVID.
It was so much fun, dude. We were ripping up. I need to see that video, too. We were at Bombay Beach yeah, and we were ripping up.
Shout out to Bombay Beach. It's only about 130 degrees there at all times. So it was one of the worst places on earth.
That was a good time. We should have done a podcast. We're going to do our next podcast from Bombay Beach.
Dude, yeah, yeah,
that would
should
be fire, actually.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get your Black Magic over so we could videotape it properly.
All right, with it.
All right, so we have hope for TikTok that it's staying, that's going to stay open. We have hope that Donald Trump will be a great president. We wish him all the best. Tony Sly, anything you got going on? Any plugs? You remember how to plug?
Yeah, I think about this plug thing. It's hard to plug anymore. I feel like it's such a grind that I don't know what to plug
this
anymore.
This is my Instagram. This is my YouTube. These are my...
listen, there's a lot of things going on. There's Cuts That Flow. There's Floyd Neon. There's
Cuts That Flow on Instagram. Cuts.flow.
Cuts.that.flow.
Cuts.that.flow, yes.
If you want to check out what I'm doing with AI, it's Floyd Neon. You know, that's a whole company I'm developing and doing stuff with right now, mainly like art-based stuff.
And you got your socials. That's on Instagram. That's on whatever.
Floyd Neon.
You got a TikTok, Floyd Neon as well?
I do have a TikTok. It's more of a burner account, which I think you're the only one that follows. So I meant to remove you, actually.
Do I follow? Or the podcast follows?
Yeah. But no, aside from that, hey, I'm just plugging the people of planet Earth, okay?
Nice.
Really, fucking A, man. It's... God, it's so, we were talking about it before. I know we're kind of wrapping up here, but like, damn, can't we all just get along? And it seems like no, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think we can. I think people are just at each other's throats, whether that be because of social media or because of politics, whatever. But we're in for a rough time. I don't see things cooling off anytime soon, especially with Trump coming in here. But who knows? He may be the great connector that we all need.
And you know what I think moving forward, not to give you advice or suggestions, please, but I have a real invested interest in... that this is this podcast. I think what you've done is great, and I really enjoy listening to it. You have this beautiful voice that just
What's going on,
maybe in the future, you know, this thing grows into something where you really are talking to that person. You don't want to bring people who are going to be at your throat. But I think what I'm most interested in media is when I see, I'm like, oh, wow, this person definitely has a different viewpoint than that person. And they're having a very civil discussion and I'm enjoying this.
For sure.
And this is really good. And this feels good for my brain. This is the first piece of content today that I like and I enjoy and feels good for me. So moving forward, that could be a thing where, you know, maybe it expands, you know, I don't know, dude. I mean.
No, for sure. I need to get more guests on here. I need to get people that oppose me a little bit to have deep, meaningful conversations. I agree. I think conversations drive society and it's like, what breaks through when people stop talking, I think that's when people start to hate each other.
Yeah, 100% for no reason.
Yeah.
No
so reason. I do agree with you there. I would love to get somebody like that on there. So if that's you, why don't you shoot me a DM at This Is This Podcast on Instagram. This Is This Podcast on YouTube, TITPcast on Twitter/X. And I'm on TikTok too. While it still stands, This Is This Podcast. My name is Nikki Bundles. Thank you so much, Tony Sly, for joining me.
Yep.
Let me just get this ready to go here. And before I say goodbye, free R. Kelly.
Nobody ever knows what the fuck you're talking about, huh?
This is this.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? This is this.